Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour number three, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEI. Is Jason okay?
No. I'm having a problem with him today. He's getting on my nerves. He's all right. He's fine.
You were yelling at him.
Well, yeah, because he wasn't doing his job. You know, sometimes I got to be a taskmaster.
It's what we wish Alex Cora would be like right now.
I know. I'm just kidding, Jason. You're doing a great job.
That's all right. Tough day.
Hey, listen, it's all right.
Your expectations are really high, and that's what we appreciate about you guys.
I think you're the best producer in the business.
Well, that's a lie, but...
I do think that.
How many producers have you worked with?
A ton.
And how many are still in...
How many of them are still in the business? Shut your mouth. I'm probably the only person... This is... Ready for this? Nobody else can say they've done this. I've hosted every single show...
No, Dale has. Dale has called every sports game.
No, that's a different thing. Oh. I have. You can put this on my LinkedIn. I have hosted every show between 6 and 6 on both stations. How do you like that? After my little stint on The Morning the other day. Check that off.
So the bucket list.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. You know, most people have one time slot and they stay on that time slot, but I've hosted every single show. How do you like that?
And you
in your face. So my point is, that's a lot of producers, and you're the best. What?
Well done, Jason.
You think I'm lying?
Good job, Jason.
I've worked with every producer in the business.
Worked with them all.
Every single one of them. What? You're speechless now?
What am I supposed to... Thank you, Keith. I really appreciate it. Let me get that
the guy won't
ready for
shut
you.
Up during the break, and now all of a sudden we're on the show, and
I'm trying to ramp you guys up.
You ramp us up.
I get you guys ready for a big segment right here.
Good night last night on the old TV, or the quad box.
Well, I only had three TVs
going
busy. In the green room.
We had three. You had a thing going on.
We had all the games on.
Bucks Pistons, like me?
I was not watching Bucks Pistons.
Fine.
You were
a sports fan.
Come on. Bucks Pistons didn't make my quad box.
That's all right. Next time.
Survivor in the fourth box.
I understand.
So we had a big night last night. We'll start with the Bruins in Toronto. They beat the Leafs 6-4. They tie the series 2 wins apiece. They come home now for Game 5 tomorrow. We'll give away tickets at the bottom of the hour.
Giving away tickets, can't
wait. And it will be bonkers in there.
What was the biggest takeaway from last night's game for you? Because for me, maybe this is simplistic, but Pastrnak getting a couple of goals.
Yes.
You know, because he had been shut out, and not just shut out, but he had been abused the first three games. It was really a non-factor. And I guess the combination of Pastrnak's goals and also Cassidy kind of giving us the old okey-doke.
I was going to say the Bruce Cassidy, it's a sports fib. No, it's a lie. He said going into the game, we're going to keep those guys together. Now, it could change quickly.
He's a liar.
It changed during warm-up, apparently. Actually, in warm-up, they were skating together.
Smart.
I mean, he was messing with them.
That is pretty good stuff.
David Pastrnak spent most of the night skating on a line with David Krejci and Jake DeBrusk.
Right.
Most of the night.
But not exclusively. And then obviously there was a power play, there was a shift in the
third period where he reunited the top line. Mm-hmm. There was a goal that Pastrnak scored from Marchand.
Yeah.
They were in the middle. It was a line change situation, but they were together for that moment.
That was a great play by Marchand, too, because he had to get the puck back and then a second time. And then
the power play goal he scored was, that top line is out there as the first power play unit.
Which was also good to see. Like, there was a lot of good things.
2 for 2 on the power play last night.
Although Toronto.
Tuukka Rask played. I know he gave up 4 goals and one was awful.
One was atrocious.
But he really outplayed Frederik Andersen.
Yeah, I thought they did a nice job of sort of, he was able to, so now the game's 2-2, early second period, but the way they responded, and it was Pastrnak scoring both of those goals, I think the whole team had to feel thrilled that, all right, here we go, this guy, one of either he or Marchand, best goal scorer on the team, he had been shut out so far in the series, he gets going, and at that point they were on a bit of a roll, 5-2, I'm thinking, great. I can really focus more of my attention on the Celtics now, maybe Bucks Pistons. I can really look at these other games.
Bucks Pistons games got my attention.
All of a sudden, Austin Matthews on the power play, it's 5-3, then it's 5-4. I'm like, oh my God, is this game going to go to overtime? So even though overall the Bruins outplayed the Leafs, Toronto, they didn't quit. They stuck around there, and they made it really interesting in the third. Because I know one of our conversations yesterday we had with Wiggy was, you know, who's outplayed who belongs on the ice with who, and all of that stuff. But overall, the Bruins, even though they needed an empty netter to win by, you know, the two-goal win, they dominated most of the game, I feel like.
Toronto played pretty well.
Toronto played well, but I feel like there were stretches there where the Bruins looked really good, and then all of a sudden they would kind of let them back into the game. But overall, they had more of the lineup that they wanted with Johansson and with Moore back in the lineup. Maybe Corrali plays tomorrow.
By the way, according to Bruce Cassidy today, Corrali will be a game-time decision for Game 5.
Yeah.
Every time they've had a game-time decision, that player has played.
Just say, but you never know with Cassidy. He could say he's definitely in or definitely out, and he might be wrong about that. But no, I think he'll be in.
He just said he'll be a game-time decision. I think you'll see him back in the lineup.
So who pops out there? Nordstrom?
That would be my guess.
Yeah, okay. So take your empty netter and go sit down. You're done.
Just a thought that would be the case, but you know, obviously Cassidy's got 24, 36 more hours to figure that out.
No, but it was good. So now it's even because, again, 3-1 would have been really daunting. Like, even now, I think it's going to go 7 because I didn't think that really either team was going to win 3 games in a row. Like, once the Maple Leafs took game 1 in Boston, I said, all right, I don't love the chances of either team winning 3 in a row to end a series. So now it's 2-2. I kind of feel like my prediction has changed now to the home team's going to win the rest of the way. And so it's going to be Bruins-Leafs once again in a game 7 in Boston.
That will probably be the case. Yeah. Now, they'll play Easter Sunday in Toronto.
Okay.
My wife loves that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Easter Sunday afternoon?
Do you guys do a
huh?
big egg hunt?
the kids are all gone now. Right.
Well, yeah. I didn't know. It seems like a good time still.
I have a feeling there will be gigantic egg hunts at the Keefe household in the future.
Yes, Keefe, you ever do the nip egg hunt?
What?
Huh?
You put nips in eggs, and then you do like an adult egg hunt.
No.
Take that as a no?
You've got issues, Rossi. I mean, you could just have a drink if you need it.
I mean, right. I don't need to make a challenge for myself. I just leave it in the cabinet. Just go up there and grab
Where's
one.
Where's the Jägermeister nip?
Oh, look at this one. Also, nobody can see this because we're not on Facebook Live yet. This is driving me nuts. Rossi's sitting down, and he couldn't be any lower in that seat. I can't see. All I see is computer screens.
Now, Lucy is also sitting, but is taller than Rossi.
Rossi might as well be on the floor, like, sitting, you know, crisscross applesauce down
there. I'm worried about Jason. He's a little frazzled today.
All I see is computer monitors. I look over there, and I can hear his voice. Can't see him at all. Asking about if I hide nips all over my house. Yeah, that's what I do.
But no,
I'm just hiding nips. I'm like, hey, get some eggs. We can throw some nips in there.
Never done an adult egg hunt.
No.
No.
All your drinking habits, and they've never done that.
No.
Dale, you've never seen these?
No.
Why would I do that? Why can't I just sit down and have a drink?
And I've seen nips. Tell me what kind of egg you'd fit a nip into.
It's got to be a good-sized egg, I guess.
They got those kind of oversized eggs now, like 99 cents at Walmart.
They make them specifically for it.
I don't know what else they're there for.
It says, hey, guys, for nips, all you drunks out there, you can hide them all over your house.
So when you find it, you then have to chug it? Is that the idea?
It depends on what. If you're doing it Easter Sunday, probably not, but Saturday night, I used to have friends that used to do this.
Listen, I don't hate the game, but it's just I've never done it.
Tomorrow,
nor will I ever
we'll
do
it during the noon hour tomorrow.
All over the floor here?
Right, all over the office.
All right. That's fine.
Wireless
it is
mic
a Friday.
For Keefe.
TGIF. Yep, that's true. I'm looking forward to that. What kind of nips you got?
What's your favorite? What are your top three?
Oh, geez.
Probably don't have craft beer nips, do they?
You got to have Dr. McGillicuddy so no one knows you're drinking.
Yeah, I like the flavored vodkas. I think those are good.
Ew.
Or even like the coconut rum. Those are pump those down.
Dale, what about you? I can get the wine ones. I can get like the small bottles of wine.
Now that would be.
Small bottles of wine's a good
one. There we go.
But the fireball shots aren't.
Unfortunately, I also have to work tomorrow night.
All right, Jägermeister for you.
Must watch television then.
Do the Jaeger with the Goldschlager, you combine the two, it's called liquid cocaine. That's what they call it. Yeah. Take Goldschlager, made with real bits of gold, you want to keep that.
There you go.
And Jaeger, which is made from deer blood, and you put the two together. Right? That's why there's a deer head on the front.
Fermented deer blood? Is that what that is?
That's right. You go for a hunt, you get some deer blood, you get venison, you get some Jägermeister, and then you get your Goldschlager.
Liquid cocaine.
Yeah, and then your breath is like minty fresh after. Yeah, it's fantastic. You can go make out with a partner if you'd like. At that point, yeah. Are we trying that or no?
I think you'll be so much more attractive, too.
Well, it's too bad because there used to be a liquor store like steps away from here.
Yes.
There was right there.
Then it went out of business.
I know. It wasn't my fault. Trust me. They probably stayed around for a couple years thanks to me.
Do you think it went out of business right at the moment you switched stations?
Could have been. Yeah, they were devastated. But I'm like, I'm still close. But yeah, that's...
I'll still make the trip down there.
So anyway, that could be a good show outing. We hide eggs.
I think it's a 1 o'clock segment tomorrow.
I'm fine. Get that wireless mic, like you said. It'd be good. That's true. So Easter's this Sunday.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
Do we want to do this segment on Good Friday?
Absolutely.
Oh,
it's a real Good Friday.
Yeah, well.
Oh, we also have an update. We're going to get to, remember the story we had of the guy that was only going to drink beer for 40 days and 40 nights? Remember that guy? It was, we did a madness on him. We have an update on that. We'll do that probably tomorrow. Do an update on that tomorrow.
Is he still with us?
We'll see.
Okay.
Tune in to find out, Dale. It's a big tease.
So we've talked about the Bruins and their win last night. Celtics were down 12 in the fourth last night at home against Indiana, thanks to some really dumb basketball by the Indiana Pacers and some really good basketball by Kyrie Irving.
I still can't get over how bad Wes Matthews looked in the fourth quarter. He had like a prayer three late in the game. They had a possession. They could have done something with it. They didn't. He threw the ball to the third row from the other side of the court for
Julian
no reason.
Edelman couldn't even catch it.
Edelman's like, what is this guy doing? He looked atrocious. Kyrie Irving was awesome. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but this is why you put up with all the stuff with Kyrie Irving, because he is that type of player. He was incredible. 37 points, knocking down threes. Could really, it felt like he could score anytime he wanted. Like 37 was fine. If he wanted 57, he probably could have had 57. He was that locked in. Now, there was one thing. I don't know if you noticed it, Dale, because, again, there was a lot going on last night. I know you were working. But there was a time where, going into a timeout, Brad Stevens was, I think, upset with Kyrie Irving for something he did defensively. And they kind of exchanged
words. I
saw
that.
And Kyrie kind of, like, waved him off or whatever and went to the bench. And I was like, what's going on here? Now, Brad never says anything bad about Kyrie.
No.
In fact, here's some of the comments Brad Stevens had after the game about Kyrie's performance.
37 points for him. How important was every single one of those?
Well, and then he moves it, and everybody else scores at the very end because it's the right play. Like, that's the way basketball should be. And when you have a threat like that, he's got it until he draws two, and then he's got to find somebody else. And Tatum took advantage of that on a couple of occasions, dumped it to Hayward once. But, man, it's... This team's tough to play against.
I don't think Kyrie Irving respects Brad Stevens. I don't. And it doesn't mean they can't win games. They're up 2-0
in the series. The body language isn't always real good, is it?
It's not. And I think, and he's made comments before about it.
I helped Brad.
Yeah, and like even if that was like a half joke, you're like, all right, that's unnecessary. Or the time he went out of his way to compliment Doc Rivers, and he said how easy it is to play for somebody who has played in the league. Like, all right, well, Brad didn't play in the league. He made that comment about how, of course, Kemba Walker scored a lot of points. He always does. Like, we should trap him like every other team does.
Yeah, that one was good.
Like, he's had these direct shots at Brad Stevens, but Brad's in a situation where he's like, well, I need this guy. Like, without this guy, we're screwed. So I'm not going to say anything bad about him. And I'm not saying that coaches and players never have those little spats. Of course they do. They have time. I mean,
we've seen
Brady and Belichick. Right. So it happens. But the big, huge difference there is Brady might scream at McDaniels, but then the next day he's like apologizing for it like, you know, and they're very clearly on the same page. Kyrie Irving does it, and then he might follow it up with some other wise-ass comment about how Brad made a mistake or how he helped out Brad. So I don't think the relationship is very good, and I wonder if that could play a role in him leaving. I don't know if it will play a role in necessarily this series. I think they're going to beat the Pacers. It's only a matter of how many games. But going forward, it was a nice win. They take the series lead. Oh, Brad got a technical, by the way. You don't see Brad getting a lot of tea. Yeah,
right.
He was a little fired up about a call. But yeah, there's just something to watch. You know, he and Kyrie Irving and how those guys interact with each other on the floor.
So we had that going on. We had two wins. We had a loss that wasn't so good.
Yeah, Red Sox stink.
And today we get David Price quotes. Dare I say, makes him sound like a leader?
But for the first time, like, not making excuses at all.
And in fact, taking responsibility for himself and for the players and saying, if we don't turn this around, they're going to blow this thing up. I mean, kind of taking a lot of this pressure on himself here.
Yeah, I think he is. And, you know, he's actually been the one starter who's been pretty good every fifth day. The other guys have all been abysmal. Now, Evaldi was good last night. Maybe that'll lead into something else. Or maybe he's just good against the Yankees. Maybe we find out he's the Yankee killer, and that's about it. But, yeah, Price, there's no audio of it because he was just talking with Alex Spear in a one-on-one, but very honest in talking about how if they don't turn things around, Mookie Betts could get traded, or at the very least, he's going to be asked about it a lot, and that could affect him. And it's kind of refreshing to hear because so many people, players, managers, even fans, it's 162 games. It's a marathon. It's the longest season in the world. They haven't even played 20 games. Yeah, but if you dig yourself this big of a hole now, you might not be able to come out of it.
Somebody on the text line said, this might be the first time I've heard David Price quotes that didn't piss me off.
I bet it is. I can't think of another time.
I mean, there's nothing that he says in this Alex Spear piece that reflects poorly on him at all.
No. And he's not, you know, singling out, he's not blaming any one player. He's like, the group stinks.
Yes.
And the group, and this is not acceptable. And if you look at the talent, it shouldn't be this way. Like, the team should be a whole lot better. And he's right. And I don't think anybody was saying, oh, actually, you know what? Somebody was saying. Again, I go back to Alex Cora on this. In the spring, he said, you thought we were good last year? You haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah.
So he put that on him. And I don't know, I'm not saying he was predicting 109 wins, but the way he talked was, yeah, wait till you get a load of this season. It's like, oh yeah, we're getting a load of it. And yet you keep talking about last season. So he is, and you could tell last year he was kind of sensitive. There's never really a lot of time for anybody to get on him.
He didn't really have any, I mean.
But you remember what he said?
If you wanted to complain about a pinch hitting situation or something, but start to finish last year, every button Alex Cora pushed was the right button.
Right. But you remember, and it was in the World Series when he left Eduardo Rodriguez in a little too long, and he made a comment. I forget if it was with us or where it was, but he made a comment that, well, you know, and you know, I left Eduardo in, and you know, I was getting killed for that on Twitter. Like, he was making a point. You're like, were you though? Like, you just ripped through the postseason. You guys lost one game or whatever it was, three games. Like, you guys were dominant, and he didn't really face a lot of criticism. And the longer this goes on with the season, he's going to face a ton of it.
As Price said, last year it didn't matter what we did, the moves we made, who was in the lineup, who was pitching, who was hitting, we performed. As of now, that hasn't been the case. It's time for us to play better. It's time, and we know that.
And it's the same group. It's everybody's back, with the exception of Kelly and Kimbrel. It's the same damn group. And they can't get anything going. And then, you know, last night's a good example where the starting rotation gets going, and now the bullpen lets you down. And they didn't score enough runs
anyway.
Which
is kind of what we expected was going to be the situation.
Oh, I definitely thought that was going to be the case. But let's see what happens. Like, they need to wake some of these guys up. You know, you need to get a few more guys hitting besides JD Martinez to make it not so much pressure on your rotation. But they get a day off today, and now they're playing Tampa, who is one of the best teams in baseball. So we'll see how that series goes. But no, they are praying that the Bruins beat the Leafs, that the Celtics beat the Pacers.
Please.
I mean, just keep the attention away from the Red Sox until hopefully they figure it out.
Maybe Price has put his finger on how to turn this thing around as well.
Trade bets?
Well, no. He's talking about in 2011. He's the opening day starter for the Rays.
Yeah.
They start 1-8. They're five games out of first, less than 2 weeks into the season. So what did they do? Quote, we took a toast before a game, a shot, the whole team.
Again with this?
Then Joe Maddon said, this is the best 1-8 team ever in the big leagues. We won that day. We took another shot after that day, and we made the playoffs.
So they should hide Easter egg nips all over the locker room.
All over the clubhouse.
That's what it is.
Nips could turn this around.
Well, hey,
the liquid cocaine stuff that you were suggesting.
Yeah, give that a shot. Literally. The 04 Red Sox did the same thing.
Well, that was the World Series thing,
right,
yeah.
As I'm saying. Yeah, not you know, game 10 into the season. It's a long season. So basically,
we're going to do this every day.
What a terrible message to the kids out there. So
we were just talking about hiding Easter eggs with nips in them. I'm not sure that we can complain about his.
But we're not role models. These guys are role models. And so when my Babe Ruth team was struggling, like, hey, the Red Sox, y'all just started taking shots. So now all these 13, 14-year-olds are going to start ripping shots before games. So maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe Price is going to turn these guys around and say, everybody drinks before we play Tampa. I do think And I know Merlone was talking before about how, you know, the Yankee series, it would have been better to play the Yankees earlier or something like that so they could wake up a little bit. I think the Rays and the start that they're out to, they don't have the household names or anything. But if they win 2 out of 3 or even go in and sweep, that would be a huge step forward. Because right now, they're the team that has sort of set the pace in the division. So if you go down to Tampa and have a successful series, you're still going to be below 500. But maybe that goes a long way. Tampa's 14-4 right
they're
now.
They're really good. In fact, I don't think they're as good as they've started.
I think they're a playoff
I think they'll
team,
come
though.
Back. No, but I do think they'll come back to Earth.
14-4 is
you know,
really good, yeah.
They're playing a little out of their minds right now.
Yeah.
But you go down there and drop 2 of 3 or, God forbid, 3 of 3 or...
Yeah, then you're really digging yourself a hole. Then you're going to be, what, 10, 11, 12 games out of first?
8.5 today.
8.5. So, yeah, so it could be 10, 11 and a half by the end of that series.
8.5 today with Dustin Pedroia having to leave after a fly ball out that dropped his average to 100.
100. Hitting 100 back on the DL.
And well, we think.
It hasn't happened yet. But I can't... I didn't think you were going to get anything out of him anyway. And it's just, all right, where do you go now? Just DL for the whole season again like it was last year? I guess. And then now just more Brock Holt when he's able to go and Eduardo Nunez at second base. Because you hope that maybe you'd get a little bit of an increase at that position. But the reality is it's just with that injury coming back. He even said in spring training, nobody's ever come back from this. Like, yeah, you're right.
And Alex Cora will be on with OMF at 2:30 today.
Lot to talk about.
There will be
chatter.
A little bit to get
good
to.
Chatter.
That'll come up at 2:30.
I'm looking forward to that.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
It is time for our Boston Red Sox front office report. The president of baseball operations for the Boston Red Sox, Dave Dombrowski, joins us on the line right now. Dave, it's Dale and Rich. Thank you for being with us. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good.
I found fascinating the comments from David Price in Alex Speer's piece in today's Globe saying, hey, we got to get this thing turned around now or they're going to blow this thing up. Is he telling the truth?
Well, I didn't see David's comments. They weren't in the paper when I read them this morning. No, we're not in a position we're blowing things up at this point. But we do have to play better. There's no question about that. So I think his point was probably to people that, hey, you just can't keep playing this way. Things end up happening. But we're a long way away from being in that type of situation.
Yeah, how do you guys balance the fact that obviously it's a very long season, 162, and you haven't even played 20 games yet, although the start really couldn't have been a whole lot worse at 6-13, bottom of the division. So how do you guys balance that? Hey, it's the short term, but also these games do matter, you know, come the end of the season.
Well, they do matter, and they're very important. I think you of course, you're constantly talking about it internally as a staff, and I'm sure that the staff talks to the players a lot about it. I think it's a scenario where you tackle every problem as much as you possibly can. You don't want to ever play like this. It does happen. We know we need to play better. We know we have a better club than that. So there's a long haul ahead of us. I've always said, even with good clubs that I've been with, and sometimes the records are reversed, that I usually wait till about 40 games into the season to kind of like take an assessment of what's taken place. But if you're playing very poorly, you can't fall too far behind during that time period. So you just tackle every problem on an individual basis and try to get it better. And I was reading the paper here this morning in St. Petersburg, and they talked about how last year that the Rays were 4-13 at the same time. They turned the record around, and they end up winning 90 games. So you know it can happen. But you also have to make sure that you tackle it with some sense of immediacy, but also not with a sense of panic.
Dustin Pedroia missed most of last year with a knee injury, is attempting to make his comeback, left last night's game at Yankee Stadium after a fly ball out. Can you update what the situation is with him?
Well, I don't really have much of an update other than that. He was seeing the doctor today. He's going to fly back here to St. Petersburg. So once he gets back here, we'll be in a position where we discuss with him. Of course, he felt a pop, I think he said yesterday. I'm not sure, but the number of things that he has had going on with that knee. And as we know, the knee is never going to be 100%. I mean, it's amazing that any player could play with what he's gone through. He continues to battle through it. So we won't have anything. We don't have anything at this point. Really won't know anything until later on today, and probably even until we sit down with Dustin, and he doesn't get back in here till later tonight. So until either tonight or tomorrow.
Prior to the season, you guys gave a contract extension to Chris Sale. He did have 1 year left on his deal. Was there any thought to him playing out the season and then reassessing it there?
Well, thought, yes. I mean, you think and you talk about anything with all of your players in that regard. I think the reality is that for us, and we think Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers in baseball. I know that he hasn't thrown that way so far this year. I think when you go through a year and a player is at free agency, which would be at the end of the season, of course your competition becomes much tougher to sign someone. So we thought with Chris that he was in a position based upon his abilities in the past, that he was working with us with the dollars that he took, the number of years he took, and even though he's highly compensated, when you look at other starting pitchers, by no means did he go for the top dollars. So, yeah, there was a discussion, but we felt he was healthy. I think it's shown that he's healthy. Now we just have to get him out there and pitch like he's capable, and we're comfortable that he'll go out there and do it, although it's painful at this point when you're going through it. But I do think that Chris, and with a lot of our starting pitchers, you're finally starting to see them throw this time around. We took it very slowly with them during spring training based upon what took place last year. We knew there would be some struggles. However, you know, maybe we're struggling a little more than we had hoped, but we're in a position where we knew that we're not going to be quite themselves when they started the year. And now all of a sudden, this last time through, I mean, Sale's velocity was much better the last time out. Evaldi threw well last time, last night. Price has thrown well. Rodriguez threw well. So we're getting to that point where we think they're capable of being their regular selves. So hopefully that part of our club gets fixed and we can move on from there.
And Sale's always been dominant at the beginning of seasons, but then he has kind of broken down late in the years. So was there concern at all about how he ended each of the previous two seasons before you guys came to the extension?
Well, there were a lot of discussions on that. That's always been his history. That's why we tried to keep him fresher in the beginning this year, to try to get him at the end where he would be fresh. That's been his history, is that he's generally had better first half seasons and not quite as good the second half, although when you put his numbers together, they've always been outstanding season. He's on a run that's almost historic as far as how high he's finished in the Cy Young years in a row. So, yeah, we've had those discussions, but felt comfortable based upon where he is to move forward.
Mookie Betts was the best player in the American League last year, won the MVP and deserved it. He looks lost at the plate so far, hitting 200 at this stage of the season. Has anybody been able to put a finger on what's going on?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things. I mean, sure, hitting coaches are the ones that work with him most on those type of things. And so they have identified things, but it's also apparent that we haven't been able to fix it. Hitters go through this. They go through tough periods. When you start talking about, I mean, there's a lot of guys on our club struggling, but when you start talking about Mookie Betts and Chris Sale, you're talking about one of the best five pitchers, starting pitchers in Major League Baseball, one of the top five players in Major League Baseball, and it's been a scuffle early in the season for him, so along with many other guys. So when you're going through these type of struggles, it's a reason why that your record ends up being the way it is right now for us. And I usually what my experience tells me in the game and listening to many, many people throughout the years that I highly respect, that when you go through periods like this, you turn over their bubblegum card and look at the back of it, and they usually end up somewhere like the back of their bubblegum card. So if that's the case, we'll be in a position where there's a lot of positive upsides to those two as well as many other guys with our club.
Is there no chance of any return to a contract, at least discussion with Mookie, now through the end of the season, or is that done until the season's over?
Well, as we had said, with all of our players at this point, once the season began, we really are usually, unless something totally unexpected happens, we don't have ongoing conversations in this middle of the season on contracts. It really is a distraction for many guys. So at this point, we don't have any ongoing conversations with contracts with any of our players.
Do you get the sense that Mookie wants to be in Boston?
Oh, I think he likes Boston. I think he loves being in Boston. But you know, these things, when you're star players, they're not always easy to get done at times, especially the closer they get to free agency. But I think he definitely loves Boston, and he likes being here and part of the organization and part of the city.
If it was one thing, it would probably be an easy fix. We need to get this player hitting better, or we need this to happen. When you've got so many things that seem to be going wrong at the same time, are you almost at a loss of where to start?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a great question. And I think what you usually have to do is you can't look at it. If you start looking at it and putting everything under the same umbrella, that's usually a mistake. So what you really try to do is focus on each individual situation and try to fix it. I mean, we focused on our starting pitching and trying to get that going, starting to make some strides. Some of our guys offensively are struggling, but they're struggling really for different reasons in various cases. Some guys, if you look at a guy like Steve Pierce, he didn't have much spring training especially at the end. He had this calf muscle. We didn't face any left-hand pitches earlier when he got back. Yesterday, his last at-bat, he hit a nice line drive to center off on Avino. And so you look at his situation, which is different than, say, Jackie Bradley Jr., who's in a spot where, you know, he was scuffling a little bit, and then he got sick with the flu. He's probably in a spot he wouldn't normally even be playing. But for the injuries that we've had and guys getting nicked up here, he's had to play, and so his situation's a little different. I think you have to tackle each and every situation separately, stay on top of it, and hopefully come out of it sooner rather than later.
Why did Blake Swihart begin the year with the team, and then at the 18-game mark, I guess it was, he is gone and Sandy Leone is back up? What went into that decision?
Well, we had a lot of discussions. It was really a very close call on what we were going to do in the beginning of the season. And really did have a diverse opinion on which guy we would keep. We didn't have room for both of them on our club. We thought all three of them were major league catchers. We thought that we'd be in a position where with Sandy we had a chance to get him through waivers and would help our depth, which fortunately happened for us. And really what it came down to with our pitching scuffling the way it is, we were in a spot where we felt that having somebody come up and be able to handle the pitching staff from a defensive perspective was something we really needed. Sandy is better than that, than Blake. No disregard to Blake in that regard. Blake has got some real upside in other areas. But we felt the defensive aspect of having Sandy help us with that was important for us at this point where we were. So that was really the reason behind it.
You almost never see baseball trades this time of year. Is that not an option at trying to resolve some of the issues here?
Well, I don't think that, you know, for us, we're not, I mean, again, you're always open to anything that takes place. That's usually right. That's not something that you're normally talking about at this time of year. And for us, we think that our fixes will be internal. Our guys will play better. It's struggling. It's a struggle to get through it. We have to help them get through it. But we believe in these guys, and no, we're not in a position where we're thinking about major trades at this time.
Are you surprised that Craig Kimbrell remains unsigned?
Yeah, I am surprised. Craig Kimbrell's a quality closer, one of the best in the history of the game. He did a fantastic job for us. You know, everybody's circumstances are different. There were a lot of closers out there, back-end bullpen guys this past year. And so clubs ended up going in other directions for whatever reason at that particular time. But, you know, I'm surprised that he's out there because of his abilities.
Final question before we let you go. Everybody talks about turning the page, but your manager refers a lot to what happened last year. Is it time to stop referring to that as well?
Well, you're never going to take away what took place last year. I mean, that's a positive for us. And it's not that he just uses a really a different terminology, you know, rather than turning the page, you know, to start a new chapter. It's just different ways of saying things. You never want to forget what took place. And hopefully that will be important for us as we get through here because, you know, the guys have the ability. But we don't by any means constantly refer to what took place last year on a regular basis internally. We're talking about trying to win a game. And most days today we're not playing, but to worry about today and trying to fix it today. And so by no means is last year dominant in our minds at this point. We're trying to fix it this year and get going now.
Dave, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thanks, Dave.
That is Red Sox President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski. The front office report is brought to you by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. We'll give you an opportunity to respond. And remember, Alex Cora will be on with OMF at 2:30 today. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It sounds like they'll get more information on Pedroia this afternoon.
Yep.
Later today, but they don't have a game. So I don't know if they're going to be announcing anything today or tell you. I guess if he goes on the DL, we'll know. But
that'd be my guess. If I made a prediction right now, DL.
Or I guess IL.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Do you get the sense that Mookie wants to be in Boston?
Oh, I think he likes Boston. I think he loves being in Boston. But these things, when you're star players, they're not always easy to get done at times, especially the closer they get to free agency. But I think he definitely loves Boston, and he likes being here and part of the organization and part of the city.
Dave Dombrowski, who joined us just a few minutes ago here on Sports Radio, certainly, you know, doing the happy talk that you have to
do. Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, the back of the baseball card thing about Mookie Betts, and, you know, he'll be better. And by the way, he will be better.
He's not this.
He won't be what you're seeing now.
Right.
The question is, by the time he gets where he's supposed to be, is it going to be too late? And you got, unfortunately, not just Mookie Betts who's like that.
No. Everybody but J.D. Martinez, essentially.
And
Price is
and
good.
Mitch Moreland.
And Mitch Moreland. You know, Price is good. He's not great so far. He had a great start most recently, but he's been pretty good. And, yeah, Martinez. And so you look at guys like Chris Sale. And that was another guy that we asked him about. And you look at, he's talking about, like, he knows that he's better in the first half than he is in the second half. But, you know, it's funny because on the one hand, and I know Betts is different because Betts has 2 years left and Sale only has one. But one of the reasons why they signed Sale early is because he says how competitive it gets once they're a free agent. It's like, okay, but now Mookie Betts may become a free agent, unlike Xander Bogaerts and unlike Chris Sale. But that's why I put it on the player. Now, we don't know what the number is that they've even offered him. We heard the rumor about a year ago it was 200 before he went out and won the MVP. So we don't know what the number was this offseason, but it does sound like he's certainly going to have nothing announced during the year, maybe next offseason. But like you said, that's if he's on the team, because if they keep playing this poorly, they're going to have a really tough decision to make.
Did you get the sense that as soon as he hung up the phone with us, Dave Dombrowski was going to hop on his phone and pull up that Alex Spear story in today's Boston Globe?
Yes. Yeah. See what David Price said, was saying?
He said, I haven't seen. Now,
maybe
I will tell you, the Spear Price thing came out today, later in the day. It wasn't in the early editions of the Globe or anything, so he wasn't lying when he was saying it wasn't in what I saw earlier today.
Right. Or he could just didn't want to talk about it.
Well, maybe.
And, you know, that'd be an easy way to do it. And it's believable because it only came out a little bit ago.
And he certainly disagreed with Price's notion that if we don't, this is Price talking, if we don't turn this thing around, they're going to blow this thing up.
Well, I think they could both be right, because they're not going to blow it up in April. They're probably not going to blow it up in May. But you get to June? Trade deadline's July, right? There's only the one trade deadline this year. So maybe around June, you got to take a real look at it. Not right now, but again, if it's a similar pace, you know, when they're in the basement and Tampa keeps winning, New York gets healthy, they start to win, and that takes another playoff spot away. So, you know, he did point out Tampa Bay. He was reading down the paper down there that they started 4-13 or whatever last year, something pretty bad. And they
ended up Price even talked about it in his
team, 1-8,
and talked about Tampa Bay starting poorly but turning it around.
Then they started ripping shots, and they were a better team.
Well, maybe that's what we
got to do. Maybe that's what they needed to do. Get these guys some Jack Daniels.
Or some liquid cocaine.
Liquid cocaine.
Which is a combination of
Goldschlager and Jägermeister.
Which is fermented deer blood,
you said. Deer blood and then booze with gold in it.
Well, whatever it takes.
Flakes of gold. Yeah.
I mean, Lucy's running to the liquor store now.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
I'm on my way.
Get yourself a little something, too.
Oh, I will.
If only that liquor store was still right over here.
I know, we could walk. Actually, you need to walk. That'd be really for the best.
It'd be better if you didn't drive if you're
no.
It sounds as though, and the Pedroia stuff, they're not going to know much until later today.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't sound.
No, it doesn't. It's a shame, but I mean, a lot of guys.
I mean, Dombrowski said Pedroia felt something pop.
I mean, that,
what, that doesn't sound good.
That sounds like the season. I mean, it really does. And then even if he comes back, let's say it's not the season, what do you realistically expect after that? All right, now he's recovered. Like, no, it's too bad. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of careers end this way. Like, guys, and we always talk about it in football.
Yeah.
Same thing in baseball, though. Guys all of a sudden can't do it. They get an injury and they just can't recover from it, and they're not the same player. And that's what it feels like the case with Pedroia.
617-779-7937. John's in Connecticut. Hey, John.
Thanks for leading me in with that, Pedroia. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
I want to remember Pedroia for being the all-world little pistol that he was, hitting lasers everywhere, MVP. That's what I want to remember from him. From a man's point of view, he's got to say enough's enough, and he's got to retire because he's hurting the organization.
He's not going to retire and walk away from $35 million.
He's not going to retire.
I respect that. I do. I mean,
yeah, he just told him to retire. He's like,
well,
yeah.
I think he's supposed to. You know what?
He's not supposed to.
What? Maybe 20 games in 3 years?
Probably not even.
Okay, so all to it. I mean, you have somebody, is Holt hurt or not able to play? And
He's got an eye scratched cornea or something. Yeah, he's in Pawtucket.
His kid hurt him.
Rehabbing in Pawtucket right now.
I wish I could tell you I was up on the news of him, but I've been watching the Celtics and so excited with my favorite sport, which is playoff NHL hockey.
Sure.
And I haven't been watching much of the Red Sox.
Understandable.
But that, and I mean, as well as the Red Sox went last year, there was a time when they sat Bradley down for 3 to 5 games. I think you're there right now. I mean, he is such a big hole at the plate, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's not alone right now. I mean, that's the problem. I'm with you, John. I mean, he's not a good hitter, but neither is most of the guys in the lineup right now.
Right now, you got two guys who are hitting like you think they're supposed to.
And then with Benintendi being banged up, too, you can't really sit Bradley, because then who the hell are you going to put in there? You know, you can put Martinez in the outfield. All right, whatever.
Or Steve Pearson left like they did on Patriots Monday.
Yeah, I don't think so. Don't think so.
Probably not. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. At the bottom of the next hour, we'll ask a former Major League manager, what the hell does Alex Cora do to try to get this team out of their funk? From Radio.com, former Yankees manager Joe Girardi will join us. That'll be about 1:30 or so.
Nice.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.